America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. You are listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend on a new format, and we'll be explaining that forthwith. But before we get to that, I am, of course, as always, your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Almost said Porkins. Joining me, as always, is Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Sologi. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
All right. Yeah,
this might sound different because it's not Skype anymore.
No, we have decided to tell Skype to go fuck itself.
No, we've been telling Skype to go fuck itself from day one, but now we're actually fucking
off. We have Craig to go tell fuck itself.
Yeah, we actually have we've actually found a good alternative that we can actually use. We are currently actually using Discord. With the help of a very powerful recording bot called Craig.
Go to hell, Craig.
Go fuck yourself, Craig. I'm hoping this becomes just another...
We're just creatures of habit.
Yeah, we hope this becomes just another new segment where we just heap abuse on this lowly bot that ain't done nothing wrong. But, yeah. So, yeah, this episode is going to be for August 28th, 2020. It is the last show of the month. By the time you hear us again, it will be the beginning of September. God damn, this year flew by fast, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, a viral pandemic will do that.
Yeah. When you're basically stuck in your house for days on end, time tends to lose its meaning, I think.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so this is the part where I basically have to tell you that this was a shit week. Mm-hmm. Just all around. It was shit for us for a couple of different reasons, because we all had to deal with just regular bullshit. But it was also shit for America for more than a few reasons. We'll be showing you those and talking about them.
Banner week for assholes.
Yeah, it's just been a major week for assholes. It wasn't entirely a week for assholes. We also got some heroes of the week to discuss as well. But partly all of that is in response to the assholes that also were around this week. So, mm-hmm. You know, yin and yang.
Yeah.
Make of it what you will.
Yeah. And of course, we got another small load from the COVID-19 dump truck. And then, of course, we got the highlights from the RNC convention. Yeah, the Republicans had their little convention this week. We're going to be getting kind of heavy, so I'm going to go ahead and start that off, that little subject, with a little bit of good news. The TV ratings for the RNC were much lower than the ones for the Democratic National Convention.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Joe Biden's acceptance speech outperformed Trump's acceptance speech by like 2-1.
Oh my God. That must stick in Trump's craw really bad.
Right? Because that's the one thing, like, above all else that really gets to him. You know, his ratings.
Yeah.
But that isn't like the only major thing we got to talk about. There was also some legal shit. There was some political violence that happened over the week. And I said, like, probably like over 2 years ago, that the closer we got to the 2020 election, the more political violence we would start seeing. And turns out I was right.
Yeah.
We also got some shocking political news out of Japan.
Crazy.
Yeah, this shit came out of fucking nowhere, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of had a suspicion because there's stuff about him going to the hospital, but
yeah, there had been stories, but
bad it was.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, also remember Japan has universal health care, so, you know, it could have been, you know, just like regular ass surgery you got to get when you're his age, or it could have been something serious. Turns out it was something a little serious, but we'll tell you all about that a little later. And of course, just to sort of put in some honey with the mountain of shit, the DC Fandome happened this week, and we got some good stuff out of that. So we'll be talking about that, too.
Cool.
But before we do all of that, we got to start off as we always do. So, Pat, what have you been up to this week, other than getting all this shit prepared for us?
Well, yeah, I mean, the time-honored site stuff has definitely been a prevailing facet of my week. Just getting the, not just the Discord server together, but working toward getting some new podcasts lined up to roll out here in the coming weeks and months. And just, you know, getting some more groundwork laid for this new editorial direction that we're moving toward, which I'm really excited about more and more, you know, as we get closer to it and as it becomes a more complete vision.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see this actually start to play out, because it's going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully for the readers and listeners, because that's kind of the point, but it's also going to be a blast to make.
Yeah.
And it's
just sort of like a quick preview of some of the things we got coming up. Those of you who are longtime listeners of this show probably remember that every so often we would have a segment that we used to call Gamer Mag Remembrances. And what we would do is we go on to archive.org. We would go find some, you know, public domain copies of like old video game magazines and basically just read through it and comment on what was on each page. And that was always fun because some of that stuff is a real blast from the past. And also because there's nothing like old gamer magazines to make you remember just how fucking stupid 90s video game advertisements were.
Yeah. And it was also fun because it was a book of possible discussions to be had about, you know, a very specific time frame in gaming. Every single show we did, like we wouldn't even go in necessarily knowing what conversations were going to come out of it, but we knew it was going to be fun every time. And
oh yeah,
that's one of the things that I really missed about just the evolution of this show is that due to time constraints, we had to sort of jettison that as a feature. And now I'm really looking forward to sitting down and doing that again as a show unto itself.
Yep. If any of you who've gone back through all those old episodes, you notice on a few chances, we never actually finished them. And that was partly because some of them were just so like content dense that, some of them were just so content dense that we couldn't do it. So, well, one of the suggestions I brought up was that we go back and maybe redo some of those. Specifically, one of the things I suggested to start out with is that old, like, really, like, 400-page Electronic Gaming Monthly magazine that had Doom on the cover. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a really good place to start.
Yeah. Just so you know what...
Was it one of the annual editions?
Yeah. Just so you guys want to know what period of time that particular issue came out, it was the very first magazine on the stand to announce the existence of Mortal Kombat 3.
Ooh, yep.
So, and that particular issue is the one that did it. So that's like smack dab in the middle of the 90s.
Yeah, I had a subscription at the time, and I was kind of surprised when I first saw it. I thought they were delivering a fucking phone book.
Nope.
So...
it was certainly thick enough to be a phone book, but nope.
And a lot of EGM issues were like that back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But there's something else that you're also preparing for, too, isn't there?
Yeah. So with all of these new podcasts that we're going to be rolling out and all, you know, all of these changes that I'm kind of trying to guide here at the site, I think it's finally time for me to step away from the Day Zero update, kind of give way for it to become the standard, you know, overarching flagship news show that we're going to need it to be to center all of our podcasting content, and then just go off and really try to grow a bunch of other ideas that we've got cooking up, because it's more than just the, you know, the magazines. there's a lot in the pipeline here, and
oh yeah,
it's like I've told the staff at large, like, get your people together, whoever you want to do the show with, pick a time slot that isn't going to clash with other recordings. The answer to most questions will be yes. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what people come up with here on the staff, and mm-hmm. And really to fleshing out some of my own ideas. But I feel like the time is right to step away from the Day Zero update to put my energies toward that. And my final show will be this Sunday's episode.
Yeah.
At least as a regular panelist, I'll still be poking my head in now and then.
Oh, yeah.
As the news cycle requires.
Yeah, and we're kind of planning on filling Patrick's space after he's gone. So,
well, I think John's been doing a good job of sitting in on recent episodes. So, I think that would probably be the most natural progression of things.
All right, then. Well, that's about it, right?
That's about it for me. I haven't
all
really
right,
had
Chris,
time
what about
to.
You?
Do anything else.
Yeah. All right, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, kind of watching the trailer for the Zack Snyder cut for Justice League got me to actually just watch Justice League this morning.
Yeah.
To see what all the fucking fuss is about.
Reminder, people, up to this point, there actually wasn't an actual Snyder cut.
Yeah. Yeah, so I ended up watching it and was like, this is all right. This is better than Batman v Superman, which is not a high bar.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
But considering it's a movie that's got hugely criticized when it came out, and they put out the I don't even know what they call it, the director's cut or whatever, the cut where they just put all the shit they had in there to make it like 3.5 hours long. There's like, oh, this is better, but there's also like half of this that doesn't need to be here, that a proper editor would cut out the bad stuff, most of it. So this coming in, it's a pretty good kind of one of those like trying to come together with the Justice League people. I'm not a huge fan of the treatment for the Flash in this. He's just kind of a socially awkward weirdo that they kind of dangle a little bit of the, oh, his dad's in jail for killing his mom. You get no real context for that. It's like, yeah, I think that would have done better if they had gotten that movie out before Justice League, the Flash movie. Besides it now being still something that's coming out in like 2 years. I don't know. Because I think his character is just weird,
yeah.
In a way of him, and it's supposed to be kind of like a prequelish version of him, because by the end he's got his, like whatever criminal investigation degree, whatever his whole thing is. But yeah, it's a pretty solid movie. It's nothing really outstanding though, but yeah, it's all right. Better than I would have expected for the way that people obsess about the Snyder Cut. And we'll talk about the Snyder Cut trailer they put out later, because it's a hell of a thing. But yeah, that was kind of it for show stuff. But played some Fall Guys last week, and haven't played it so much in the past few days, just because I was trying so hard to get the crowns necessary to get the Peabody outfit, the Portal 2 outfit they had up, and just had the worst luck.
Yeah.
Could not get it at a certain point. So decided to make up for it, and I got Dark Souls Remastered on Steam. I got it for like $17 on Fanatical. So I thought it was a pretty good price for that. And it's definitely a much better version of the game on PC than what the original was, where it didn't run at 60 frames per second. And the fan mod stuff for it to make it 60 frames per second broke the physics, because it wasn't meant to run like twice the speed in the way that all that stuff works in development.
Yeah.
So it's like a proper 60 FPS version of it. All that. I'm still fairly early in it, though. I had a hell of a time yesterday trying to actually play it, because just randomly it decided, we're not gonna let you use a controller.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, did my cable stop working? Did my controller stop working? I tried different controllers, different cables, everything I could think of, and I was like looking up, like, okay, somebody else had this issue, and like, I just restart the PC. And I was like, all right, fuck this, and just restart the PC. And it's like, all right, now it fucking works. Yeah, just super pissed I wasted all that time. Again, oh, it was my fault. No, the game just decided to stop functioning properly because I was not going to play with the mouse and keyboard. That's not the proper way to play that, unless you're just a weirdo.
But, yeah, I was going to say masochist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's people that like to try out different ways of controlling it to test themselves out. You know, Guitar Hero controllers, all that kind of stuff. I just call them weirdos. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been nice getting back into that and kind of actually playing it at 60 FPS is pretty nice compared to the original that I think I have on Xbox 360, then Xbox One, all that. So that's been the thing I've been kind of putting a decent amount of my free time into. And also got my RetroArch set up back up, which has been nice. And I have a couple of, got my importing, which involved like some archives of, collections of games that, I didn't realize I had to unzip the file first. Because like it was going through it, counting it all, like it was working. I was like, oh, this is good. And it's like, ah, nothing, just didn't add it. I was like, oh, fuck. But then I just unzipped it into the different folders I had for each platform.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, then I did it. And it's like, oh, it's doing all the games as it should. Then it gets to that fucking zip file, and it's going through that as well. Mm. It's just throwing it into whack. And so I had to do a lot of organizational stuff, getting that out of there. But now I got it working, got the achievement stuff working too. Play some different stuff for that. So that's pretty nice. Maybe we'll do some streams in that at some point. Play some older games that way. Instead of having to pull out some
recommendations.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, the stuff I have, at least right now, is a lot of stuff for the archives of like entire libraries would be like hundreds of megs instead of gigs and gigs because I don't have that much room on this just yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been pretty nice to get that running. So that's been pretty much it. How about you, Teresa?
What about you, Teresa?
I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima.
Uh-huh.
And totally dig it.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I need to ice my left thumb pad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have been running and riding all over that damn island.
Yep.
So pretty good. I hope to finish it up before I have to return it to the library. I really hope.
Well, how far in it are you?
Well, let's see. I've been trying to help the woman from the samurai family, avenge
Lady Masako.
Yeah, Lady Masako. I'm horrible with names. I've been trying to help her with that. We already got past the betrayal. We know who did it and why. Mm-hmm. Well, not why, but I mean, I guess why. They did talk about it. It's just because people suck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little bit past that. I'm still working through hers. Still working with the Straw Hats, trying to get them recruited. I've gotten what's-her-name's brother sprung a while back.
Yeah.
And I haven't returned to that storyline yet. I really need to. But I visited a shit ton of hot springs. I follow yellow birds in my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And little foxes, too.
Oh, yeah.
And
see, that stuff is not just, like, just regular side quest shit. That stuff actually helps along, goes a long way.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm not dying nearly as often now. So, like, only every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite that. But there's lots of screaming and yelling and hollering going on during this game.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I deal with it. I don't throw controllers because, I mean, you know, that shit costs money.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do that.
Also, that game reloads really fast, so you're not really
too long. It does. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I know you guys have talked about it already. It's fucking gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just great. So, yeah, like, totally, I didn't think that it was going to, that it was going to grab me, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and then the only reason I'm not playing it right now is because, I think I mentioned it to you guys, I am in a paid market research for a closed beta MMO.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? And I'm not exactly sure, like, if I'm going to get chosen for an in-person interview. Well, not in-person, but a voice interview. But if I do, I'm way more than halfway towards a new PS5 or Xbox. So it's a pretty good pay. So, yeah,
You just need all the deets of what you can get.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily like a gag order, but I'm not supposed to talk too much about it. But it's interesting because it's from a publisher that is a little new on the scene, but has huge, deep, deep pockets. So I was interested when I found out who the publisher was to see, like, you know, what they're going to do, what they're going to offer. And not a bad showing so far, but it's definitely still a beta, but not a bad beta.
How many wolves did you have to kill in your first quest?
Well, I actually have killed 5 wolves that I haven't turned in for this 500th quest.
How did he know that?
That's how every MMO.
Yeah, it's either wolves or boars or some rabbits. Shit like that.
There's boars, there's rabbits, but I haven't found the damn rabbits. There's
Final Fantasy 14 is go kill these bees.
Yeah.
Or these rabbits.
Yep.
It's that way, kind of, but it's a little bit different because the crafting and gathering is like front and center too, but not in a bad way. And I swear to God, if people don't learn to turn off the lights when you're done in the kitchen, you guys, seriously, as many computers as we have going, you can imagine what my electric bill is. But yeah, it's pretty good. It has kind of limited keyboard support or controller support. So that's why, Chris, when you were mentioning that, that's why I was grumbling because, like, that's my life right now.
Trying to figure out if it's you or the game.
Right, yeah. And then, I'm supposed to play for 1 week solid. And 2 hours every weeknight, 4 hours each weekday or weekend day. So I'm getting a good bit of time in. I'm playing it more than I have to, which I guess maybe that says something. I don't know. But once I can talk about it more, I'll talk about it more. It has good and bad. But other than that, it has been Rick and Morty. So we're doing season 4 and we're about done. We're pretty close. I think we have like 4 more episodes and then we're caught up, and then it's going to be sad because I don't know what to do next. I mean, I got a whole lot of things I need to do next and need to watch next, but...
Is that the season where the parents are divorced?
Nope.
Are they separated?
They already did that. Yeah, they already did that. Yeah. So, yeah, that's really about it, other than just working. Holy shit. It's been a while since I've had to remember what day it is. Yeah.
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 All right.
That's it.
So, my turn, yeah. So, I finished Code Vein last night. So now I'm basically playing Bloodborne because, you know, I needed the actual sort of Soulsborne fix after I finished Code Vein. And, yeah, it's, you know, it's still Bloodborne. Still good. Also started back on the Banner Saga. I'm actually on Banner Saga 2 now. And yeah, so there's like a major character death that happens in the middle of the first Banner Saga, and it sort of goes back over into the sequel. And yeah, the Banner Saga, before it even starts, is already a very sort of pretty dark story. It gets even darker by the second game. Basically, let me put it this way. Banner Saga basically takes place in, like, alternate Norse Viking mythology world. Like, it's very obvious where the idea comes from. But the idea with Banner Saga is, okay, you guys know how one of the things about Norse mythology is Ragnarok, right?
Yes.
And you know how Ragnarok is supposed to work, right? Eventually, the gods end up challenging the World Serpent. You know, Thor finally kills the World Serpent, but he ends up dying in the process. And eventually, all the gods die. The basic idea about the Banner Saga is, what if the gods actually ended up dying long before Ragnarok was supposed to start? Yeah. And it ends up being kind of scary as fuck. Other than that, usual reading. I am reading Stephen Bruce's To Reign in Hell, which is the sort of a kind of high fantasy retelling of Paradise Lost. And it's like basically it takes place in heaven, but heaven is like an actual like fantastical realm with, like, you know, cardinal points, and it's got a sea, and it's got a mountainous area and all this, and there's like a bunch of different heavenly regents who rule over it. Yahweh is still like the big dude. He's the guy who can look at all four cardinal points because he has four eyes. All like other figures like Asmodeus and Beelzebub, Lucifer, Lilith, Behemoth, Leviathan, they're all in it. Leviathan is actually the regent of, I think it's the region of the East. Leviathan is literally what it talks about in the Old Testament. It's a giant sea serpent.
Okay.
Beelzebub is basically takes the form of a small blonde furred dog. Lucifer is, well, he's basically what you imagine Lucifer would look like. He has like golden hair. He's muscular and good looking. And there's also Satan, and Yahweh and Satan are actually really good friends because, again, Satan isn't really a villainous figure in the Old Testament. Yeah, it's good shit. Also been watching anime. I've been, started watching Claymore, which, it's an old, like, I think it originally started out as like a Shonen Jump manga before it moved on to like, I think it was monthly Shonen Jump or something like that. It's kind of Berserk-esque, but it's more based around the idea of like an organization who were hired to go and fight. There's like a creature called Yoma, that shows up in places, and it basically takes over the form of an individual. And in order to like suss it out, it's impossible for regular people to do it. So basically, you have to go and get these people who are from an organization that doesn't really have a name. People just call it Claymore because all the women who work for it carry Claymore swords. And they're basically all half Yoma. And so they can actually like sense and find Yoma. Holy shit, does it get fucking violent? Like, seriously fucking violent. But yeah, that's one of the things I've been doing. And then, last but not least, I've been dealing with some car shit. Well, I dealt with some car shit, more like it. So earlier this week, I had to go run some errands, and so I got into my car. And the thing is, me and my dad has also been having to borrow my car because he ended up totaling his truck.
Oh, shit.
Which is like... God, this is like the 12th vehicle he's totaled at this point.
Does he drive a lot and just has increased risk?
He is a aggressive driver. Like he is the platonic ideal of what an aggressive driver is. And he's usually good, but there's always that one point that always gets too much and he ends up getting hit by someone. But anyway, I got into my car and turned the key, and engine doesn't start. And by engine doesn't start, I mean it doesn't even turn over. It literally, I turn the key, and all I hear is click, 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 click.
Uh-huh.
Battery.
Uh-huh.
Battery. So, had to get a new battery.
And $150.
Yep.
Yeah, we went through that a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
It was already on the decline, and then COVID-19 happened, and the car didn't move for 2 weeks, and the car said, hey, fuck you. It wasn't mine. It was Scott's.
Eventually, in my case, my car is like a used one that I got, and I think it's like... Yeah, so it's like over 15 years old. I doubt the battery is actually that old, but it had been there long enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the shit I had to deal with this week.
Yeah, always a fun time.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. The good thing, though, is, I mean, I wasn't completely stuck because my mom also has her car here. And it's a hybrid, so it can... It doesn't take as much gas.
Yeah, and that's also why I said it wasn't my car that the battery went dead on, because that wouldn't be so great. Because, you know, you guys can't change her actual engine battery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so with that out of the way, I do believe it is now time for everyone's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. Very quickly, when you think of, say, old school medieval kings, you think about like all the type of like people who work for them. Obviously, you got your knights, you know, you got your servants, you know, the ones who like you got the guys in the kitchen, you know, getting all the food out to the table. You might have like a page or a squire or someone helping him. And then there's the what's sometimes known as the royal food taster. You guys are familiar with what a royal food taster is, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And what the basic idea what the basic idea of a royal food taster is supposed to be. The royal food taster is not to actually taste something to see if it tastes good. No. The royal food taster's job is to taste something in order to find out if what the king is about to eat has been poisoned or not. So as you can imagine, there's a kind of a high turnover rate for royal food tasters. But see, here's what a lot of people don't know. The royal food taster wasn't the only like professional taster that a king or queen usually had. Because there was another kind of taster that they usually had. And sometimes this would be a person who this was their specific position that they did, or other times it would be a servant who maybe also had this particular job. Now, you're thinking of something like, okay, food taster, what else could it be? A wine taster, maybe? A drink taster? No, no, that's also the job of the food taster. So what do you think could be something that a person would taste that a king or queen might be concerned about?
Water?
No. You're getting close, though. Urine.
Oh. Oh.
Now, I know you're thinking, wait, what?
No.
They're paying this dude to drink the king's piss? Why? Is he just a sick fuck who gets off on it or something? I won't deny that that might be a possibility, but no. The reason that a person would be charged with tasting a person's urine is for one reason. Say they got a bit of the king's urine into like a little cup. They swish it around the cup, and then they drink it and sort of swish it around their mouths. What do you think is something that they're actually trying to find? Wow. Whether or not it's sweet and sugary.
Yeah.
Because if a person's urine is sweet and sugary, what does that mean?
Diabetes.
Or as they called it back then, the honey sickness.
Mm-hmm.
There's
no damn cure for that.
No. There is treatment, however. There is treatment, but there is no cure.
Treatment came about in like the 1920s, didn't it?
Well, by treatment, I mean like changes the diet.
Ah, yeah.
See, back in the Middle Ages, no one really knew exactly what caused diabetes. Keep in mind back then that most medical professionals were still going through the whole four humors phase.
Yeah.
Where there's like a certain number of fluids that need to be in balance in the body. Sometimes they would come across the correct idea, but usually that was in spite of the fact.
Yeah.
But they did figure out very quickly that diabetes, even though that wasn't what they called it, was a thing. And they also figured out kind of quickly as well what could possibly lead to diabetes. Now, in the modern era, we know what specifically does lead to diabetes. It's the inability of the body to properly digest sugars and glucose to produce insulin. And so most of the sugar ends up getting passed through the system instead of just being absorbed by it. Now, they figured out very quickly, because you're tasting a dude's like urine and it's sweet and he starts getting sicker and you think, okay, sugar, tastes sugar, he's sweet in his urine, he's getting sugar. By logic, you would think, okay, so I guess he needs to start avoiding overly sugary things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. Actually, you guys are familiar with low-carb diets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, low-carb diets were originally created specifically as treatment for diabetes. Because, you know, sugars and starches, all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Effective for type 2.
Stuff like eventually what would happen is this would actually end up to leading into what's called one of the first fad diets, which is called Banting, named after a guy called William Banting. I actually talked about him on the show sometime earlier. And to sort of bring this all first circle, William Banting got the idea for his low-carb diet from his doctor, who had specifically diagnosed and used such diets as treatment for diabetes, which had been used as a treatment for diabetes since the time of the Middle Ages.
Interesting.
There we bring it full circle.
Yeah.
And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. Aren't you glad you didn't live in the Middle Ages?
Aren't you not even fucking kidding? I mean, we would have all died from tetanus or something by now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, with that out of the way, it is now time to start the show proper. And as always, we have to start with our assholes of the week. And yeah, you're going to see Kenosha show up a couple of times in this. Yeah, so to start us off, all the fucking way, yes, in Kenosha, Wisconsin, it started out this week when a cop ended up shooting a gentleman by the name of Jacob Blake 7 times in the back after following him while he was walking to his car. Now, Jacob Blake survived, but he is paralyzed from the waist down, and the cops have actually handcuffed him to his bed.
I believe the latest update is he is not handcuffed anymore.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I don't know why you would for a paralyzed man.
But he was for a couple of days afterwards.
Yeah.
Because he's black. That's exactly why he did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I believe the whole story is essentially that there was like a dispute going on between these two women.
Yeah, and he actually happened to be stepped in to try and stop it.
Yeah. And his fiance and his kids were in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody called the cops on the two women. He was still around when they arrived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did his thing, told him what was going on, thought he was done, walked to his car, and the cop just, like, follows him.
Yep.
In a weird way that's like, you know, if you want him to stop, just, like, grab him, like, put handcuffs on him or whatever, but now he follows him, he opens up the door, the guy grabs him on his shirt and just shoots him 7 times in the back, and the video's just really hard to watch.
No.
Yes.
Because, one of the neighbors across the street was filming this, so you can see it all pretty clearly, and it's like, just disgusting the way that happened. I believe they are probably going to be filing a civil suit against the police department, the family.
This is not the first time the Kenosha police have done shit.
Nope, they've got kind of a history of doing this.
Yeah.
And as you can imagine, the people of Kenosha and a lot of people in the United States were very angry at the Kenosha PD. Again, this is not a new thing for them. They've got a history for it. This is the thing that seems to have been the final straw that broke the camel's back. Unfortunately, in the world we live today, there are a bunch of fascist wannabes who will immediately take the side of the cops, no matter what.
Yep.
And are willing to, you know, basically use the loser's wannabe swastika, which is the Blue Lives Matter flag. And one of these assholes, we're not going to name him, because you've already heard his name more than enough, and I do not want to give him any more fucking attention. This 17-year-old little shit from Illinois had his mom drive him all the way to fucking Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Wow. That far.
Yeah.
It's like an hour drive.
Yeah, but still.
It says it was about 15 miles, which is how far I drive to work.
Oh, was he in Waukegan or some shit? Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, Antioch.
So he couldn't have walked there, unfortunately. Oh,
Antioch. Okay.
Yeah. So his mom drove him to Kenosha, Wisconsin. He got out with an automatic fucking rifle. He claimed that he was with this militia group called the Kenosha Guard or something. And there's video of this, by the way. The cops showing up in like one of their armored vans or whatever and tossing water bottles at the militia assholes saying they appreciate what they do. This kid happens to be one of them, by the way.
Or at least in the group at the time.
Yeah. It is very obvious that this kid was coming here specifically to start trouble.
Yeah.
And according to some people, that's exactly what he ended up doing. Now, the video that you've seen probably where he's being chased, you might have heard sort of offhandedly as they're chasing him that someone points out, he's the guy that shot somebody. It has been said that apparently he had attacked someone earlier before that video starts. I've also said as much in my Facebook post. I want to make it clear that is still conjecture at this point.
Oh, beyond the three people he shot?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it doesn't really matter because what ultimately happens is this little shit was waving around an AR-15 automatic rifle. Basically brandishing, which is, by the way, crime.
Well, he's 17, so he's not legally allowed to own the gun. Yeah, and he also got an illegal...
Yeah, he actually...
Transferring across state lines.
Yep.
There's a lot of illegal things going on.
Yeah, he illegally obtained a firearm, transferred across state lines, all that shit.
I'm going to go out on a very, very strong limb here, because I'm sure everybody else has been saying it. What the fuck, mom of this kid? You should be held accountable too.
Yeah.
She should be an accessory to attempted murder.
Because she drove him there. He must have had the gun with him.
Yep. Yeah, and there are pictures of him younger where he had like an AR pistol as a kid.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, these parents did not give a damn.
Yeah, it looks like he's from a family of gun nuts. But ultimately, what ended up happening is these people were chasing him because, again, he's brandishing a highly lethal weapon in a crowd of unarmed people.
People can tell he's a shithead kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, at the very least, they're trying to get this fucking weapon away from him before he hurts himself or someone else. And that's exactly what he fucking ends up doing. He falls down, he shoots one guy in the head, shoots another in the chest, and one other dude in, I think, the arm.
So senseless.
First two died. The first one is still alive.
Yeah, and he then is able to just walk to the police and walk past them.
Yep, holding his hands up. They didn't even fucking arrest him.
No,
they actually let him go.
So they don't go home, and then he got arrested the next day.
Yeah. Now, if this young man had been black, he wouldn't have even gotten that far to the police.
No.
They would have shot him on the spot.
Well, you've heard the conjecture on the internet about why Jacob Blake deserved to be killed. Because he had a knife in the car. That's obviously why he deserves to be murdered.
Oh, it gets worse, because people are already trying to come up with excuses for why these other two dudes had to die.
Yeah, and there was the New York Post was like the poster child of the difference with the way you handle black people and white people in these situations. Because black person, it's like, oh, it's he's got a knife in the car, so obviously he deserved it. And then the white kid's like, oh, he was washing graffiti before he shot three people.
Yeah.
So that means he's an okay person. It's like, no, he's a shit.
It's the Brock Turner defense.
Well, and I also want to point this out too. One of the things you've been hearing is that, well, the two guys that he killed, one of them was apparently a registered sex offender, and the other dude was apparently had a history of domestic violence or something like that. First and foremost, that first guy, you know that they keep a federal, like, database of that shit, right?
Right.
You could actually go there and search it, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you go and search it now, guess what? He's not fucking there.
Yeah.
You know why? Because that case was closed several years ago back when he was 18.
Yeah.
He was taken off the sex offender registry because it was said that, no, he actually did not commit a sex crime.
Yeah.
And also, that doesn't mean he deserves to be murdered.
Yeah, it's not like he fucking knew that.
No.
And the kid just saw somebody that he assumed was a bad person because he's protesting, he's not backing down from somebody with a gun. I guess we found out about this kid, like, he was in, like, the deputy police force for kids.
He was in, like, their, I think it's, like, their, I forget what it's called, but it's, like, a junior officer's program type
like
thing.
That. And also, he's an avid Trump fan.
Yeah.
Shocking.
So, yeah, he's very much of that mindset that hates these protests.
Yeah.
Because how dare people exercise their First Amendment right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. So now he's got double murder on his record.
Yeah, he's got several charges on him. I'm not sure what all of them are. I'm not sure if they're all mentioned here, but he's got at least two homicide charges. And suspicion of first-degree intentional homicide. Not sure what all the charges are yet. But he's going to get, hopefully, the book thrown at him.
God, I hope so.
He's in juvie now in detention.
Yeah. He might end up getting tried as an adult.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of this crime.
Yeah. I mean, if you're traveling across state lines to do this, you should not be necessarily trying to
job. The FBI could be involved.
Yeah. And then it gets worse, because guess what? This little fucker actually has his big supporters. Namely, of course, being fucking Tucker Carlson.
Oh, we got the one right here, Brandon.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about this. We'll get to Tucker in just a second. But remember how we told you earlier about how the Kenosha Police Department has a history of doing this shit with Jacob Blake?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Chief Daniel Miskinnis came out and basically confirmed it, because he basically said the shooting would not have happened if protests and prayers weren't out past curfew.
That's a non sequitur.
Exactly.
That's victim blaming.
That's justification.
That's saying, oh, they were out after dark. They deserve whatever gets coming to them.
Exactly.
Whether it's the shit that stupid racist militias do.
Mm-hmm.
Or little piece of shit like this kid.
Yep. And, all right. And now, yeah, here we go. Tucker Carlson. His show usually comes on, what week is it? It's just like Thursday, I think.
I'm glad I do not know.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't know either, but...
I think it's usually the other day, Wednesday.
Yeah, and yeah, Wednesday. He basically said you know how this fucking rat faced asshole does. He basically goes out there. He uses a bunch of fucking weasel words to try and put just enough plausible deniability between him and the position he's actually putting forth.
And what he specifically said is, "Are we really surprised this looting and arson accelerated to murder? How shocked are we that 17-year-olds with rifles decided they had to maintain order when no one else would? Everyone can see what is happening. Kenosha, it's getting crazier by the hour." One, it's not out of control.
All of the dicks.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the police are ineffective? Well, let's defund them then.
Yeah.
Why don't we get some fucking YMCA in Antioch so that stupid shit kid had something to do besides fuck around on the internet?
Yeah, and he also has his other fans, like Ann Coulter said, that this kid is my president.
Yeah.
I was like, you'd vote for a 17-year-old murderer to be your president? That's
And then a fucking Michael Savage.
Thing I can imagine.
Yeah, and then fucking Michael Savage came out and is like, hey, I'll totally, like, fund this kid's legal bills.
And well, all I hope you go broke.
So now he's darling of the right wing.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he doesn't go down that fucking path. He might already be on the way there, but...
Take a look at the mother.
Yeah. Yeah, and a bunch of... I got a bunch of tweets here from people that... Let's see if I can find... People that are coming up with the sponsors for the show, like people to contact about their support of this.
Mm-hmm.
Tucker Carlson, which... If you need proof that cancel culture doesn't exist, Tucker Carlson is number one example.
Yeah.
Does all this shit and
somehow it's still on the air. Yeah.
We also kind of followed up people getting outraged about this stuff by tweeting, Kenosha devolved into anarchy because authorities abandoned the people. Those in charge from the governor on down refused to enforce the law. They've stood back and watched Kenosha burn. Are we really surprised that looting and arson accelerated to murder? Which is, again, doubling down on that.
Mm-hmm.
Watched it burn. They're just... They know exactly what they're fucking doing with that language.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are people that definitely called them out in these tweets I have here. Mm-hmm. Somebody's saying, you're a festering carbuncle on the anus of Fox News. You're an exploitative, opportunistic racist who is confused being provocative with being good at your job.
Yeah.
You're remembered as a weak puppet with large pores and a penchant for race baiting, if at all. Mm-hmm. Another guy saying, Tucker Carlson supports vigilante teens murdering BLM protesters in cold blood. He believes this is maintaining order. This is what we are up against, and the lies and misinformation flows fast and furious at the RNC tonight, too. And this stuff all happening made the RNC very awkward for people to watch.
Oh, yes.
Because the night that this all happened, nobody acknowledged it.
Mm-hmm.
And then... I don't think they necessarily acknowledged it the last night either too much, but it was definitely like, you notice how everybody was basically like 95% of their speakers were white.
Oh, yeah.
People, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And, but we do have one last asshole to talk about, and fortunately, it's not related to Kenosha. No, it's Jerry Falwell Jr.,
the former president
of Liberty University.
Yep.
So, it came out, okay, so for a while, for the last few months, people have been making jokes about Jerry Falwell Jr. and the pool boy. Turns out, they were right. Yeah, basically it turns out that Jerry Falwell Jr. got this guy who was originally a pool boy, made him a partner in his business, and, turns out he, brought them into him and his wife's sex life. Jerry Falwell's really into cuckoldry, apparently.
Yeah, to the point where, to throw it off, he claimed this was an affair that his wife was having with the pool boy, that he knew nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Just like, okay.
And we're so believing you. Okay, yeah. if they want to get off that way, who fucking cares? Except...
Yeah, see, this is the thing.
Except...
Normally, if this was anyone else, that would be the response we would give. Yeah. The only problem is... Yes, Jerry Falwell Jr., who is, of course, the son of the late and very dead Jerry Falwell, who was himself a fat, bloviating asshole, is also a fat, bloviating asshole. And a hypocrite who not only hooked his trailer up to the Trump train very early, to the point that people are actually thinking maybe the Trump administration had something on him.
Well, not anymore.
Looks like they might have. he leads the, Liberty University, which is one of the most conservative Christian colleges in the United States.
Yeah, and Jerry Falwell Jr. is largely responsible for getting evangelicals behind Trump.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, so much so as if even he tried to take down Trump with him, he would more likely just get thrown out and they would just stay the Trump cult.
Yeah. Well, looks like that shit done sunk.
Yep.
He basically resigned and then said, no, I'm not resigned. And then finally he said, fuck it, I am resigning. So he's gone now.
Yeah, it's also ironic just because the rules they had for students to not have premarital sex, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff he himself was doing.
And the people down at the very bottom, man, they take it super seriously.
Yep.
And, I wonder if they feel like that's just a huge slap in the face or anything.
Apparently, alumni and stuff have been saying that shit like this has been happening on the down low for years, but the Falwell organization basically keeps slapping all this stuff back down until this week, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's not just him and his wife. It's basically a lot of the faculty as well that basically helped facilitate a lot of this.
No doubt.
Speaking of his wife, by the way, again, were this anybody else, this would not be a major issue.
Yeah, right. Because
apparently Becky Falwell likes to get down, too. And that's perfectly fine. Apparently, amongst other things, about 8 years ago, she blew one of her students.
Okay.
Who was apparently a friend of her son. After band practice.
Oh, was just slimy.
He was 22 at the time.
Dear penthouse.
Yeah.
It's still slimy.
The power dynamic there is definitely a little cringy.
Her son's friend. That's where I'm stuck. I just can't get past that. That's just gross. Sorry.
<All right. laughs> They're out, and I'm honestly wondering if Liberty University is going to be able to survive this shit for much longer, because I don't think there's any more Falwells on the faculty now.
Yeah.
Falwell, Jerry Falwell Sr. founded the university. So yeah,
maybe they don't need him.
That's possible.
I do want to add, there's this incredible end to this article.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Becky told the AP on Tuesday that she and Jerry are more in love than ever. Quote, "We have the strongest relationship, and Jerry's the most forgiving person I've ever met." Becky told the outlet, quote, "It's a shame that Christians can't give us the same forgiveness that Christ gave us."
Go fuck yourself. Look, again, was this anyone else in the world, it would not be a problem. But this family has made millions on hypocritically talking down to everyone they saw as less holy than them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there are a lot of students that have been kicked out for having sex that would like to talk about forgiveness with these two.
Absolutely. But anyway. All right, so moving on from there, we got our heroes of the week. And a bunch of this is sports related because after the Jacob Blake shooting and the shit that went down in Kenosha, a bunch of athletes stepped up and basically went on strike. Doc Rivers made this big speech after a playoff game about Jacob Blake shooting, lack of racial justice, and the RNC's fear-based speech.
Yep.
Basically saying, you know, we love this country. How come it doesn't love us back?
And it's basically saying, what stands out to me is just watching the Republican convention, viewing this fear. Mm-hmm. Here's Donald Trump and all of them talking about fear. We're the ones getting killed. We're the ones getting shot. We're the ones that we are denied to live in certain communities. We've been hung. We've been shot. All you do is keep hearing about fear. It's amazing why we keep loving this country, and this country does not love us back. It's really so sad. It's like a good 3-minute video, and it's well worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
Because Doc Rivers here is one of the most respected people in the league.
Yep.
Everybody has reverence for him.
Yeah.
He also talked about here, the training has to change in the police force. The unions had to be taken down in the police force. My dad was a cop. I believe in good cops. We're not trying to defund the police and take all their money away. We're trying to get them to protect us just like they protect everybody else. I didn't want to talk about it before the game because it's so hard, like, to just keep watching it.
Yeah.
That video, if you watch that video, and you don't need to be black to be outraged. You need to be American and outraged.
Yeah. And in response, a bunch of games from the NBA, the WNBA, the MLB, and the MLS have had to be postponed because players have refused to play in the wake of the Jacob Blake shooting. Just a shit ton of athletes said, fuck this, and went on strike.
Yeah, the NBA was the first to do this as players for the Milwaukee Bucks refused to play their playoff game.
Yeah.
And that sparked every other team's players to do the same. They had even a potential chance where they were coming together that night to take like a vote. I think it was just a poll, like just to poll the players, like it was on whether they even just continue the playoffs or not. But I believe, like, in the morning, they had meetings with the owners group and kind of came to a
compromise, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you're supposed to do for a strike. That's how they work.
And I think also in the follow-up to all that, the NBA has announced that, I don't really have it here, but they announced earlier today that they are making all of their arenas available as voting for places to vote for this election coming up.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Which is a big step up.
Yeah. The National Hockey League actually postponed 2 days of games.
Though it took them a bit to make any sort of statement.
Yeah.
That annoyed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Naomi Osaka, she actually came forward and refused to play her match in the WTA tournament. The USTA, ATP, and WTA also postponed playing. Of course, all the tennis people. So
yeah, and she's especially notable because she is half black, half Japanese.
Yep.
So she is one of the most popular tennis stars in the world, precisely because of that. Cause she unites American and Japanese fans.
Yeah.
So if you don't think
the Japanese people don't know about the whole Black Lives Matter stuff, no, they have had their own Black Lives Matter protest in Japan. Yeah. They know about it.
And she put out a statement of her own saying, Hello, as many of you are aware, I was scheduled to play my semifinals match tomorrow. However, before I'm an athlete, I'm a black woman, and as a black woman, I feel as though there are much more important matters at hand that need immediate attention. Rather than watching me play tennis, I don't expect anything drastic to happen with me not playing. If I can get a conversation started in a majority white sport, I consider that a step in the right direction. Watching the continued genocide of black people at the hand of the police is honestly making me sick to my stomach. I'm exhausted of having a new hashtag pop up every few days. I'm extremely tired of having this same conversation over and over again. When will it ever be enough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I believe one of the anchors at ESPN Sports Center actually walked off the set.
That was NBA on TNT.
Yeah.
Ernie the Jet Smith.
Yep. He actually said, you know what, it's just not appropriate for me to be here during all this. And he took out his microphone, put it on the desk, and walked off the set.
Yeah,
and they had a good talk. It must have been awkward for Charles Barkley, who was sitting right next to him.
Yeah, though I think people are hoping the white guy they have on set would also go, because the anarchy of Shaq and Charles Barkley being the only people left would be entertaining in its own rights. But they had a good talk the night before, like after Doc Rivers' speech, kind of about all of this. That's definitely well worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
Even going to the point of talking to Ernie Johnson, who's the white guy on the crew, that's, you know, about having the talk as far as like the talk about, you know, what to do when police are around, all that kind of stuff. If you get pulled over, he says like, yeah, I haven't had to have that speech with my kid, that kind of stuff. Even talking to other people on the sets, the few people they have, that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's worth watching that, a lot of that kind of stuff.
And to end all of this on a happy note, over the week, a bunch of protesters gathered outside of Jeff Bezos' house after it was announced that he ended up being the first person to have, I think it was like $500 billion in assets. And they raised up a guillotine outside of his house.
About damn time.
You want the French Revolution?
Yep.
Because this is how you get the French Revolution.
It's not the first time that that these have popped up at protests. But
nope, they're becoming awfully more common, aren't they?
I'm starting to feel like it's only a matter of time before they actually start putting people in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, especially during the pandemic, the billionaires have been just making tons more money.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Than anybody else, really.
Yeah.
An unbelievable amount.
Yeah. And if you're wondering, you know, so this guillotine, did it actually have like an actual blade on it? Obviously not. It was a piece of cardboard. Mm-hmm. But hey, Jeff Bezos, why don't you fuck around and find out? Not that hard to attach one, you know, just putting that out in the ether. All right, so with that out of the way, it's now time to move on to the proper show proper. And as always, we have to start off, unfortunately, like we have for the last several weeks, opening up the garage and backing up the COVID-19 dump truck. So to start off, worldwide, there are 24.6 million documented cases. About 835,000 people have died. In the United States specifically, there have been 5.9 million cases. We're getting extremely close to 6 million. And 181,000 people have died because of it.
And we're averaging about 1,000 people a day.
Yeah. It's
horrible.
Yep. Yeah. The good thing is, at least the good part, is it does seem like the infection rate does seem to be going down.
For a while.
Yeah. Again, we're heading into fall and winter, which is, I mean, the CDC and Dr. Fauci are already warning people, you know, get ready because it's going to spike.
Get ready. Make sure you have humidifiers.
Yeah.
That's extremely important because it doesn't travel as well in higher humidity. Doesn't mean it ain't traveling. It sure as shit is.
Mm-hmm.
But don't breathe in an elevator.
Yeah.
You know? Like, don't lock down. It's like everybody should, if they can, lock down as much as possible personally.
Mm-hmm.
When fall and winter get here. And it's going to suck.
Yeah.
It's just going to suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you got school still going on.
Yeah.
It's been a huge jumping point for cases.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of places. I think Alabama, Florida. University of Alabama had like 500 cases since they started
Florida
back
had
up.
Like, Florida had 1,000 child cases, I think, within a month.
Mm-hmm.
And it pretty much coincided with their early school start. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, school starts here on Monday. It's 100% from home.
Yeah.
But not everybody's doing that. And I just...
Yeah, unfortunately, they're not doing it over here in Macon because I'm seeing school buses out and about.
Yeah, I know. I know. Every time I read the news from Georgia, as far as schools go, I'm just...
Yeah.
Almost sick to my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
I saw there's like a site that is like tracking cases and such.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there have been a few kids that have died.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's been more parents who have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's teachers. Right. I mean, healthy people in their 40s and their 50s. Mm-hmm. With
that's
no
right.
previous whatever.
Nope.
There's a whole lot of orphans now. Why do I need this?
Stomach.
No. I was saying hearing about the kids and parents who are getting COVID from school makes me sick to my stomach. Somebody brought me a bottle of Tums.
Tell them to stop eavesdropping.
Yeah. Well, that would be avoidable. Fair. I'm sitting in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the middle of the living room, so.
Yeah.
All right.
So you're probably wondering, like, okay, so how are people dealing with these numbers? Well, CBS News poll recently found that 57% of those who identified as Republican, and keep in mind, this is one of those news polls that they do on landlines.
Skewed data.
Yeah. But basically 57% of them consider 176,000 deaths to be, quote, acceptable.
That's fucking horrifying.
Yeah, it was, it was 90% of Democrats and 67% of independents said the death toll was unacceptable.
Mm.
And for Republicans, that was just 43%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, like I said, these types of polls, these are only for people who have landlines, so it kind of...
That's gonna
skew the number a little bit.
Yeah, like, I only know one person that has that. One.
It's definitely a particular demographic.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It's sort of demographic that would take part in these kind of polls as well.
Yeah. But, yeah, so as for, well, the administration, President Trump accused the Food and Drug Administration of delaying a COVID-19 vaccine until after the election.
Which By the is way, stupid.
Yeah, and if you watch the RNC, his acceptance speech, he said that he was going to get a vaccine by the end of the year, if not sooner, which isn't happening.
No.
Yeah. His tweet was ridiculous with this accusation, saying, the deep state, or whoever, over at the FDA is making it very difficult for drug companies to get people in order to test the vaccines and therapeutics. Obviously, mm-hmm. they're hoping to delay the answer until after November 3rd. Must focus on speed and saving lives at Steve FDA.
See, the problem with focusing on speed is that you're not really going to end up saving lives. That's more Russian roulette.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Russians, they rushed one out.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know what the after effects of that is yet, but...
Oh, we'll find out.
Yeah, I'm sure their military will let us know.
Yeah.
Because
and
objectively speaking, I hope it works.
I mean, yeah, I do too.
Yeah, that would be wonderful, but...
I wouldn't trust anything Putin has to say about this stuff.
Yeah.
Fucking right.
To be objective and
truthful. It can't come from Putin.
Mm-hmm.
It has to come from other sources, but...
And, so Trump also put forth this new miracle cure, which actually is just, turns out it was just convalescent plasma with FDA EUA. That's it. That's,
yeah.
It helps, don't get me wrong, but.
Yeah, it's just emergency use authorization.
Stuff that should have been out there already.
And it's stuff that's not really as effective as he made it seem, as well as the FDA's commissioner, Stephen Hahn.
Mm-hmm.
Made it sound like it was more effective than it actually is, and it's kind of fudging the data that people have, which is
another
great thing to do as one of the heads of the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to help us at all.
Yeah, it's a thing that like helps a certain kind of person, certain kind of patients, but it is it's not a full cure or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like helping the people that don't really have much else to go on.
Yeah. So the load we got for the COVID-19 dump truck. We're going to put it back in the garage and come back next week when we'll have a fresh load. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Now on to the fun stuff. The Republican National Convention, which much as what happened with the DNC. Yeah, it wasn't really a convention. It was more like a 4-day-long infomercial.
And some of it happened on federal property, which is against the
Hatch Act.
Yeah.
We had to sort of tap this down into five specific entries because there was just so much weirdness from Kimberly Guilfoyle's, like, "Don't cry for me, Argentina" bullshit speech.
Yeah, her whole thing that was like her wanting to be the face of a dictatorship.
Yeah. It was so awful it turned into a TikTok challenge.
I think somebody injected that into a Simpsons thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where they go to the theater and the theater's like speakers are so powerful it blows up people's heads.
Yeah.
They kind of do that with her yelling so loudly.
Yeah, so people should know, first of all, she, as someone who has worked in television and has a experience in that, she should have known that she doesn't have to yell that loud.
Yeah.
Especially since there's not really anyone else in the room. One speaker ended up getting dropped hours before speech because it turns out that she's a raving anti-Semite.
Yeah, she...
What a shock.
Yeah, she was tweeting, tweeted, "Do yourself a favor and read this thread," linking to another tweet that was, from a QAnon conspiracy theorist that laid out a fevered anti-Semitic view of the world. Selling the Rothschilds, a famous Jewish banking family from Germany, created a plot to terrorize non-Jewish Goyim with perverted details of their scheme that included plans to, quote, make the Goyim destroy each other and, quote, rob the Goyim of their landed properties. Drawing more of the centuries worth of anti-Semitic hoaxes and smears, the threat claimed that malevolent Jewish forces in the banking industry are out to enslave non-Jews for more world wars, what were the QAnon references. Claimed the Titanic had been sunk to protect the Federal Reserve, and that every president between John F. Kennedy and Donald Trump was a slave president in the thrall of the global cabal. Also promoted the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Because, of course.
Popular in Nazi Germany. Bennett's allegations about a Jewish plot to control the world are real.
Yeah.
All this stuff is just off the deep end.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's basically what most conspiracy theories eventually lead to.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the.
By the way, just fun fact: the Rothschilds are not really that rich. In fact, they don't even crack like the top 20. In fact, I think like the richest of the Rothschilds only has like a fortune of like $15 million something dollars, which is still a lot. But when you compare it to someone like Bezos,
that's fucking not even a pimple on his ass.
Nope. Yeah. Basically, they haven't had any real power since the Gilded Age. So, yeah. And then Trump pardoned John Ponder, who was founder of a prison rehabilitation program. And I'm like, okay, that's good. Kind of wish he didn't do it as a fucking campaigner, but okay.
Yeah, that's kind of the issue people have, is like, it just kind of cheapens the whole thing.
Yeah. By the way, that wasn't the only thing, too. He also initiated some new citizens into the country, and it turns out a bunch of them didn't know that they were actually going to be a part of that.
None of them wearing masks?
Nope.
Fucking great.
Yeah.
Most people in any of the videos you see involving the RNC had no masks on. Because why would they?
Yeah.
Because wearing it shows that there's actually a danger.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is actually something to fear, and that they better take it seriously, and then they have to face their own mortality.
Yeah.
If you listen to them talk about it, it was a lot in the past tense.
Yeah.
Because they want to present it as like, oh, this is a thing that, you know, was a concern.
Yeah.
We aren't even through the first
wave yet. No.
First quarter.
No.
We got a ways to go.
Yeah. The House Democrats, they've actually opened an investigation into Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who is, of course, I believe he's Secretary of State. And he actually gave a speech, which is actually against precedent, because Secretary of State is supposed to be a servant to all the people of the U.S. and not a partisan figure.
Yeah, and also violated guidance on political activities that he himself emphasized.
Yeah.
To cable to diplomats just last month.
Yep.
So, do as I say, not as I do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So shocked.
Yeah.
And he did this with, he was in what, Israel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he was in Jerusalem.
That was the whole backdrop for his speech.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, a number of speakers may have violated the Hatch Act.
Yeah, the general feeling is that, like, Trump and Pence might be immune from it for this particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't excuse the other members of the federal government that spoke there.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least part of the administration. So the Hatch Act does not prohibit Trump from delivering his RNC acceptance speech on the White House grounds. However, White House employees are covered by the Hatch Act, so there may be Hatch Act implications. Those employees, depending on their level of involvement with the event, their position in the White House.
Yep.
Federal employees from that prohibits federal employees from engaging in political activity while on duty or in a government building, like the White House.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Formally, Trump, of course, accepted the nomination formally in a speech before 1,000 people with no social distancing.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how.
And now we wait.
Apparently, there's already been like 3 people who've tested positive. So
yeah, because they didn't do any testing for anybody that didn't come into direct contact with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't going to come into direct contact with him.
Yeah.
And didn't require protective face coverings outside of just their arrival at the White House.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they could take it off when he was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
When cameras are more likely to pan the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's we know from, you probably heard about the Smash Mouth playing at Sturgis.
Yeah.
It's stupid of a sense I just said there is.
Yeah.
But there's like 100 cases that have popped up out of that whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine what happens when you get 1,000 idiots at the White House lawn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully one of them is Rand Paul.
Yeah.
Had to run away from the event afterwards because protesters approached him.
Yeah.
And he pissed
He had like an armed guard around him, and he's like, if it wasn't for them, these protesters would have torn me apart. Wimp.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you mean like your neighbor?
Who beat your ass into the ground so bad that you had to go to the hospital and get surgery?
Pit prick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, we got good news here next.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Kellyanne and George Conway are stepping away from their gigs to focus on their family.
Their marriage. Focus on the family. Call another pool boy.
Yeah, no, it's because their daughter basically went on social media and basically outed them as neglectful, abusive assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine. Because they say all their kids are preteens or teens, and they want to be at home, because I assume most of them aren't going directly to school.
Nope.
Must be doing distance learning and all that.
Damage both control. Of
them. Yeah.
Yeah, and to try to keep their daughter off Twitter.
Yeah.
I've
yeah.
enjoyed her tweets, personally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, it's should be one less asshole in the Trump admin.
Yeah. George Conway won't be with the Lincoln Project anymore, but I think they can do well without him.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was part of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was one of the co-founders.
Okay, yeah. I just thought he liked the shit on Trump on Twitter.
No.
That was his hobby and pastime.
I'm actually convinced. Do you guys remember a couple years ago that book by Anonymous called A Warning or something like that came out? And people were like thinking, it's apparently someone in the administration. Like a lot of people think it was Mike Pence. I think it was actually Kellyanne.
Really?
Because it would be a really good way to sort of play both sides of this.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, that would give her some future political protection.
Yeah.
So that she doesn't have her career completely and utterly buried.
No, that would be a shame.
It would be just desserts, is for damn sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, they got to cover their ass somehow, I guess.
Yeah. But it would also explain how it is that, you know, they both are somehow still married, and yet their political differences haven't ended up killing each other. Because it means they've been gaming the whole thing.
Yeah.
Or they've been together long enough they know how to goad each other.
Yeah. Now we move on from the U.S. to Japan, where Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has resigned from his post due to health issues. Apparently it's been known for a while that he suffers from ulcerative colitis. And apparently it's gotten so bad now that he's actually just can't fill his position anymore.
Yeah.
And remember, this is Japan we're talking about.
Yeah.
So it must be pretty serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. The same illness ended his first term.
Yep.
Back in 2007. Yep. Just over a year in office.
And that type of job seems to be contraindicated to that type of disease, illness. Because I can't see stress doing anything to help it.
No.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Japan is very much a Western-style liberal democracy, but it's basically been de facto a one-party state basically since the fall of the Japanese Empire and the end of World War II. It has basically been ruled by the Liberal Democratic Party since the early 50s. And that happens to be Shinzo Abe's party. So, wonder who, have they talked about who they're going to get to replace him? Or are they going to hold another election? Or
is there like a deputy?
I think there's a deputy that could probably take his place.
Says here, Abe leaves the LDP in control of both houses of parliament, a large majority in the lower house of representatives. Success should guarantee an LDP successor to Abe. Japan is not a presidential system. Instead, the country's leader is chosen by parliamentarians, so the LDP leader, whoever that is, should have an easy path to becoming prime minister.
Yeah.
Says he will be, he will remain in office until a successor is chosen.
Yep. All right. So, we'll see who's going to end up replacing him. Until then, back to the U.S., the Golden State Killer. You guys remember this guy?
Oh, wow.
He started his crime spree all the way back in 1975. And this week, he finally got his sentence in court. He was sentenced to consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole.
Wow. Yeah, they brought him in on a wheelchair, even though he didn't need it.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah, he's 74, so hopefully he doesn't last too long.
Nope. Well, usually for guys of that age, a lot of the big prisons have a specific wing for elderly prisoners. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just he doesn't live that long.
Oh.
He dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't become too much of a burden on the system.
Yeah. All right. And then now we go back to New Zealand. Well, we're just globe hopping, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
The Christchurch shooter, the infamous one who, like, live streamed his entire massacre.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. He got the unprecedented, in New Zealand's case anyway, unprecedented sentence of life without parole. Yeah. First time in New Zealand's history that that sentence has been handed down to someone.
That's pretty savage for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's going away for good as well.
Yep.
Deserving.
Of course, this is also a New Zealand prison we're talking about, and
there's more of a chance of rehab, but rehab while he stays.
Yep. Yeah, so they're locking him away, basically, pretty much forever. Well, I want to say forever. How old is the dude? He's actually fairly young, isn't he?
Yeah.
Usually life sentences are usually like something like 30 to 40 years. So he might end up getting out when he's in middle age.
Maybe, yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, and then we're going over to Greenland. So you know the old joke about how, you know, Greenland is icy and Iceland is green?
It used to be the old joke.
Yeah, because it turns out Greenland's ice sheet has melted more last year than in any previously recorded year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it lost, annual record of 532 billion tons of ice. With 223 billion tons of ice lost during the month of July alone.
Mm-hmm.
To put that in comparison, between 2003 and 2016, the ice sheet lost about 255 billion tons of ice on average per year.
Yep, that's right.
Doubling up what it was averaging over the 13-year stretch.
That's right. Wonderful.
I just cannot understand how we are not taking this seriously.
Well, we're kind of having to deal with another crisis at the moment.
The thing that we started doesn't care
about
coronavirus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't give a goddamn about that or whatever virus comes next.
Yep. That's right.
Whatever.
But hey, let the, we're already losing like islands across the world as a result of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You'll lose a lot of the coastal cities and areas.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like, say, southern Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of Florida. Probably some
parts I'm going to end up having oceanside property in the middle of freaking Atlanta.
Yeah.
Even parts of New York.
Yep.
You guys have looked at those projection maps of the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be underwater and whatnot. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have. I have to. I live in Georgia. We're kind of on the coast.
Yeah, we're in good shape up here in the Midwest.
We are.
You lucky bastards.
We totally are. And we'll keep fresh water, too.
Yeah. But sort of end all the international stuff on something of a happy note. In India, the India Institute of Technology's Bombay campus held a digital graduation ceremony using students' avatars. So that's...
Aww.
Yeah.
And they got, like, a digital version of their degree.
Yep.
To share while they waited for their physical one to get bailed out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had 2,714 graduating students.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they each received their degree via their virtual images, created using their photographic details. It was held on August 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And you can probably find this up on YouTube, it says here.
Yeah.
They received their medals from the avatar of Chief Guest Nobel Laureate Professor Duncan Haldane of Princeton University. Additionally, a synchronized pledge is also taken by its students from across the country at the end of the ceremony. Yeah, so pretty neat little ceremony. I don't think they have a video of it on this particular article, but it actually looks pretty good.
Yep. Yes, it does.
The graphical quality of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yep. Man. Yeah, so that's basically all for the serious stuff. So now we're doing to probably the big media event of this week that isn't Gamescom related, and that's DC FanDome.
Yep. Which is actually pretty good from what I tuned in.
So one of the things we got was the new trailer for Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah, so you can actually see Cheetah.
Yeah.
Which looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to this. The weird thing is that in the trailer and just says only in theaters, no dates.
Like yeah, right.
Yeah, and like no date at all, even.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, conveniently you're saying you're only putting this out in theaters, but you don't even have a date because everything's falling apart out there.
Yeah. We also got the very first trailer for Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League, which I have to remind everyone didn't actually exist until everyone started demanding the Snyder cut, and then they actually had to go and make one.
Yeah, this trailer is one of the most pretentious trailers I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because the entire trailer has Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah playing.
Oh, God.
So he thinks it's the... that important to deserve that kind of feel to the whole thing.
Ugh.
Which is like, no, fuck. Mm-mm. The original cut is not even good enough to suggest that you're going to make it that damn good.
Mm-hmm.
So fuck you, Zack Snyder.
Yeah. Seriously. Ugh. But,
it's like, ooh, you're going to have a Superman with the black suit. Oh my God, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's getting paid to pander to the people that whined about the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
And that's going to be on HBO Max next year. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. And we also got a teaser trailer for Black Adam. I believe that's the one that The Rock is in.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like a animation comic kind of thing.
Yeah.
Of him just telling like who the hell Black Adam is.
Yep. It's for those who don't know who Black Adam is, he's basically Shazam's basically arch nemesis.
I'm sure he's like the first one.
I think he is. There. He's one of the first. But all you need to know is he's the arch nemesis of Shazam. That's basically what you need to know.
And they're doing a movie before they do Shazam 2, whatever they're going to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, talking about him basically getting this power and then not using it for good.
Mm-hmm.
Using it to get back at the people that enslaved him and his people.
Yep. Which, for the record, would normally not be a bad thing. But this is a superhero film we're talking about, and...
And he wants to conquer worlds.
Yeah.
But that's going to be out December 22nd, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see like an actual trailer footage from it.
Yeah. And we also got our first trailer for The Batman.
Yeah, which looks pretty good.
Yeah. The starting Matt up Reeves, another Batman movie series, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, and Matt Reeves had a chat before they showed this on the DC FanDome.
Mm-hmm.
Talking a lot about this movie kind of being more about Gotham and its history of corruption.
Yeah, pretty much.
Also involving Bruce's parents as well, uh-huh. And how it comes back to affect the present day. Which is definitely something that the Telltale Batman series went into as far as like his parents, even finding out that his parents were very much involved in the criminal mafia stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Versus being the, you know, charitable philanthropists that they typically are in Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they're going for, let's see, the Riddler. I think Catwoman makes an appearance here. The Penguin potentially mm-hmm. is going to show up. And I don't know what else. There's potentially hits at the Joker. There's like a clown gang.
Mm-hmm.
It shows up, some stuff like that. It's kind of kind of very much like Batman and some of these rogues gallery of villains in their early days, mm-hmm. before they actually become the villains that you know them as. So yeah, I'm kind of interested because Matt Reeves he did a great job with the Planet of the Apes reboot. Mm-hmm. And this would be a good way to get the Batman back on track, because it's been a long time coming for this movie.
Mm-hmm. And finally, we got a sneak peek kind of video for James Gunn's Suicide Squad film.
Yeah, it's a weird video because it's kind of just showing them filming a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like stunt work and all that kind of stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
And just them talking about James Gunn, what he brings to this. Inadvertently being a slam on the guy that directed and wrote the first one.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's... I'll see like John Cena, and I didn't even know Pete Davidson was in this. Until I saw him, and it's like, wait, what? What the fuck is he doing in here?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it...
Right.
It looks like he's doing some good work, hopefully. Mm-hmm. In the actual trailer, though.
Not yeah.
For sure. Because this is all just behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah. 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 So I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks.
Yep.
Yeah, it got kind of heavy, but we were able to end it on a lighter note, I guess.
Yes.
So, yeah, I hope this ended up sounding better than our past. We definitely found this new format much to our liking. It's not nearly as...
experience.
Yeah, it's not nearly as sketchy as Skype is.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So I guess Chadwick Boseman has died.
What?
What?
Who?
Black Panther.
Oh, damn.
No way.
Like, this is just minutes ago.
Holy shit. Hold on. Let me look on CNN.
It's all over Twitter.
Let me look on CNN. I don't see it on CNN.
Yeah, they got Hollywood Reporter reporting this in his own Twitter account.
Colon cancer.
Oh.
Damn.
Oh.
Stage 3 colon cancer.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
Variety's got it. Huffington Post has it.
Yeah. Shit.
Much for a happy ending.
Well, damn.
Yeah, that kind
of... All right, well, anyway, we're going to go ahead and end this. Okay, so I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you have a question, comment, or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked for in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And yeah, that's it. So I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Patrick Mifflin, Chris Logan, and Teresa Sammons, good night, sleep tight, and remember to go vote in November, as we will be reminding you until November.
Mm-hmm.
Go to hell, Craig.
Yeah.